We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes and News and Talk 1380 WAOK. On this afternoon, we have sharing with us today Apostle Daryl Winston and Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond from Save Our Children Coalition. I want to say good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing today?
Okay, I'm going to call you when I get off.
All right. You all are doing great today.
Yes, ma'am. So honored to be on your show. You're doing great things.
Well, thank you so much, and we are honored to have you all on the show today.
Certainly, it's always a pleasure to be in the company of greatness, and so I'm grateful that you have me to be blessed again by your presence, my friend of 30 years. 35
woo,
years or so.
Woo. You know I got a birthday coming up. You Lord,
I know, of course.
Oh, God. No. Oh, God. Getting older and younger at the same time. So, you know, talk to us about, I want, first of all, welcome you and thank you for taking the time, because I know you all are very busy, active in your churches and also very active in the community. But talk to us about faith and justice. Faith and social justice.
Okay. You know, oftentimes we look at the compartmentalization of things, even to the point that there is a toxic theology to make people think that if you do social justice, you are not biblical or spiritual. But when Jesus came saying, "No, you're not, that the kingdom is within you," and when he came preaching the nearness of the kingdom, the context of Jesus coming into an oppressed environment under imperial powers, Rome. And so Dr. Howard Thurman, in this book, Jesus and the Disinherited, he chronicles about how when Jesus was born, the Jews in that day couldn't name for themselves. They didn't have self-determination. And so Jesus came preaching love. And so what all social justice is love in action. For the marginalized, we have a Savior, a conquering Christ who showed us, he became what we are so that we can become what he is, to show us how to deal with wickedness, oppressive systems, and those of us who follow Jesus, who have faith in Jesus, and embody his teachings, must have a boldness beyond the benediction, as opposed to a narrow see no evil escapism where we just make it, we want Jesus to be our cosmic bellhop or errand boy. Go by the hospital, Jesus fixed it. So Jesus said, "I came that you have life and have life more abundantly, but marvel not at what I do, but greater works than these." So I ascribe to the theological slant that teaches Jesus was a revolutionary. And as exactly. Jesus was a revolutionary, we must be like Jesus and impact every aspect of society with the teachings of Jesus. And that is going to cause us to impact injustice everywhere.
I just want to add on that, and
I'll
be a little bit more direct in the words is, you know, you can't have faith without justice. You can't have God without justice. God mm-hmm. is the God of the oppressed, according to James Cone.
Yeah.
But I really want to reach out and push a little bit for my white brothers and sisters that are part of the evangelical movement. You can't talk righteousness without first addressing the injustice that we're dealing with across the board and being moderate. Dr. King in his letter to the Birmingham jail so eloquently spoke about, you can't afford to be moderate at this time. So justice and faith will definitely go hand in hand. When Jesus said in Luke 4, "I come to preach the good news to the poor, recover the sight of the blind, free the oppressed," that was a, a motif of social justice in itself. So you got to have faith in justice. They work hand in hand, because if it's done to the least and we don't speak up, shame on all of us.
Right, right. Okay. I hear exactly what you're saying, Pastor Keith Hammond, and also Pastor Apostle Darrell Winston. I want to ask you, because you brought up a key point, what about the injustices that's in the faith community, in the church world, between white and black churches? Apostle Darrell Winston, you want to address it first?
Well, yeah, you know. Even as the brother, Pastor Keith, talked about Dr. King's letter to the Birmingham jail for time immemorial, I would say that many of our white brothers and sisters have practiced the religion about Jesus and have ignored the religion of Jesus. And we have tried to promote a westernized savior that was in lockstep with American exceptionalism, or lockstep with the American way. And so this kind of Jesus that many of our white brothers and sisters and their disciples, many of us who grew up in the black church, started mirroring their theology, where there is a see no evil escapism. Mm-hmm. We engage in what we call spiritual bypass, where we repress and we suppress and we want to act as if there's no hurting, act as if saying things like, just pray. Don't just pray, unless, you know, God's going to work it out, spiritual bypass. Mm-hmm. But when we understand that even the kind of racism that still exists, even when in the Gazusa experience, remember the great racism and the flare-up with William Seymour and Charles Parham, those folks could not dare submit to a black man full of the Holy Ghost. And even with Bishop Mason and the Assemblies of God, he laid hands on them and blessed them. They could not sit up under a person of color. And we have seen this played out throughout the church. Either we had some of them who were allies and understood it, trained in it, and some of them were either placating, you know, as long as you come and support my ministry, then I can give only lip service and saying I'm with you. But what we're seeing now, Pastor Stokes, is the cover being pulled off of this hatred and this indifference, intolerance, and that's why they can support the type of president we have. And I'm not just talking about the white evangelicals. I'm talking about the blacks and Latino also.
What do you say about that? Very good, Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond. What are your comments?
I just want to add to the dynamic. A great injustice was done during the slave trade. The Portuguese basically were the kings. They were the brokers of the slave trade, because they indoctrinated all the slaves in Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
So we jump 400 years later that we have a Eurocentric thought of Christianity, instead of it being the Palestinian fellowship, which it was. Mm-hmm. We have to dismantle I hate to say it, the Eurocentric Jesus, and deal with the historical Jesus, which looked more closer to your skin tone than the pictures that were out there. And it plays upon, just as you say, that in when we deal in the church and we deal in mainstream theology that wants to ignore all of these things.
Right. Hold tight a second, Pastor. Hold tight. I'm going to go to break. Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond, also Pastor Apostle Darrell Winston from Save Our City Coalition. And we'll be back. We've got callers waiting to ask you questions. Also, we want to know, what are your thoughts on Lecrae? He had an interview with a white pastor who actually described slavery as a white blessing. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's On Point with Wandalyn Stokes on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and you're listening to On Point with Wandalyn Stokes, my friend and sister girl on News and Talk, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Well, win well. It is On Point with Wanda and Soaks and News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Speaking with Apostle Darrell Winston and Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond of Save Our City Coalition. We've got a caller on the line. Join the conversation, 404-892-2703. Todd of Atlanta has a question. Go right ahead, Todd.
Keith, I got a lot of work going on in the house right now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay,
we can hear you.
Keith, and what's the other person's name?
Darrell Winston and Keith Jamal Hammond.
That's Keith Jamal Hammond. This is particularly to you because I know something about your background. I'm using Asheville as an example, okay? Asheville, North Carolina, because I'm familiar with it. Should this be fully put on government? Should it also be put on private sector? What's going on in Asheville? Because that's what we're talking about, connected to the reparations.
You referencing reparations?
Yeah, I'm referencing what they passed through their government procedure. But Asheville's strength was built from the private sector, from the Vanderbilt's Railroad, and then the Asheville.
Yeah, you're kind of faint, but let me tell you what I think you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying that what the government did shouldn't the same expectation pressure be applied to private entity or corporations, right?
Should they be motivated to be a contributor to the base sentiment that the government's laid out?
Right. It depends on who you talk to. There are some, and I'll say this, there are those who have been working quietly, and there have been any number of class action lawsuits that's going addressing reparations. Now, it's
in Asheville.
It's an interesting thing to note that it is now in the public sphere in a way that it hasn't been. I've been told that those who've been working with and for reparations, I've been told that corporations are next.
You're talking about in Asheville, correct?
No, I'm talking about nationwide. I'm saying I've been told by those who are pretty reputable, who've been working reparations for years, that the corporations are indeed next. And
yeah,
there will be announcements, and in certain instances, it may not say those words, but I've been told that just as in the past we've had insurance companies and banks having to allocate certain amount of money because of how what do you call that, predatory lending and other things. But I've been told that those who are on the front line saying that the next wave, or that they're expecting corporations to be hit hard, and many of them have already agreed in some instance. I don't know all the details, but I have been told that.
Okay.
Let me jump in here. I know, for instance, Princeton came up with a plan for reparations, and so did Georgetown University, Evanston,
yeah,
Illinois, and Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. But we would not be remiss that Nations Bank, Bank of America, Vanderbilt Steel, there are many companies that profited off of the backs of free labor and then deniability with 80 plus years of Jim Crow. So I think that there's a culpability on both parts, because you had a government that endorsed slavery. And and just like they paid, the United States paid reparations to Israel, to the Jews, the Holocaust survivors.
And the Japanese.
Not because they had any part to do with it, but because they turned a blind eye to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, yeah, I don't know which way it's going. I know that some people are doing some work on it. Ahead of time, I know there was a coalition a few years ago that was going around doing work on it, and I think that was Dr. Reginald Muhammad was part of that coalition, but we shall see.
Wanda, bear with me a little bit on this one, because I think I got my people mixed up, but I don't have my story mixed up. The reason why I brought up specifically Asheville is because you brought up the story about Asheville, and I'm familiar with the city, and I think you're closing in on time. The reason why I brought that question up is because I didn't catch everything that they were talking about prior to me coming on, so that's my mistake. But in reference to Asheville, they've laid it out as a matter of city government that there are going to be some reparations made available in some way or form for the citizens of Asheville that are descendants of our slave trade in this country. And I was asking, the reason right. I brought up the question about Asheville is because I was like, as Asheville has come forward as a city government, should they also employ or strongly and compel the private sector of Asheville to be an active participant as a matter of government procedure to help lend themselves to this correction that needs to be made, which is through reparations. And that's the reason I brought it up, because I'm mm-hmm. like...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, the government's laid it out and said, we're going to do something. And I'm asking, do y'all think that same government should say, not only are we going to do something, if you want to do business here or if you've been doing business here as a private sector, you're going to have to be a contributor to this too. You follow me, Wanda?
I do.
I'm saying like every other word that you say, my brother. I think anybody that's guilty of it or feel an obligation to it should participate in it. That's the only thing I could say.
That's how they get out of it. That's how they get out of it. They're like, well, we weren't guilty. We weren't there during that time. So they're not really guilty, which is true. They're not guilty, but they are benefactors.
Right. So they're benefactors because when you look at the economic gap, just a report that came out a few weeks ago, that net income, wealth income for a black household in America is $17,000 versus $117,000 in a white net.
That's right.
Net household income. So there was profit. There's a profit margin. There's a 252-year advantage of a profit margin. While they were getting free labor and being able to pass generational wealth, if we start now, it would take us 228 years to even catch up to where they are.
That's right.
That's if they don't even progress anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It would still take us 228 years.
Well, here's the problem with getting into the benefit part. The same white folks say, well, yeah, we've been benefited from it, but the black folks that are here today have been benefiting from it too. Because they're here today. So I try to stay away from that. And I also try to stay away from the disparage, the separation of incomes. My thing is...
Well, you can't ignore that because we had a fair advantage to start at the same time in 1619 that we come over here and been working this and started at the same time they started and had 400 years to catch up in wealth. We wouldn't mm-hmm. be having the disparities that we have in our community.
That's true.
So, it's not so much of the benefit, it's so much of what's fair and what's right about it. But I do understand what you're saying. We're not looking at the benefit. We're looking at reparations, repairing. We're looking at lost compensation. We're looking at what's duly owed to people who are descendants of slaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I am with
it. And I think that one thing we can't do is get into the semantics of benefits versus repairing because mm-hmm. we all agree at the end of the day, it's owed.
That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. I'm like, people get old and die, but money don't die. And the
it's a debt. It's a debt that
right.
we're owed.
Right.
Yeah.
Money don't die.
Right. It doesn't die. We'll be back. Thanks, Todd. Stay healthy. Stay connected. We have Apostle Darrell Winston, Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond, Save Our City Coalition. We'll be back with more right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well is on point with Wanda Lynn Stokes right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Just a little taste of Lecrae, gospel rapper, or just a Christian rapper, an African-American young man who's been rapping and very involved in the community, very involved in social justice, very involved with the homeless community and all, especially even during COVID-19. He's always been very active. But he sat down and he spoke with megachurch pastor Louis Giglio, and they talked about racism in the church. And at an event that they recorded, this particular pastor of the Passion City Church, he said that the phrase white privilege could be replaced with the phrase white blessing. And that really set off a firestorm. And so at the Passion City Church in Atlanta, the pastor described slavery as a blessing after talking about the blessing of the cross on which Jesus died. The pastor further stated, "We understand the curse that was slavery. White people do. But then also, as they continued to talk, the executive from Chick-fil-A said, who is an evangelical Christian, he said, and we say that was bad, but we missed the blessing of slavery, that it actually built up the framework for the world that white people live in." Apostle Darrell Winston, Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond, what is your response to this?
When
who wants
you,
to go first?
When you look at the history of the founders of this country and where they came from, and even the book called White Trash that's a New York Times bestseller, talked about how the earlier settlers and how they emptied the prisons in Europe, and the ones who they sent over here, they looked at them. That's where the origin of the N-word came from. Mm-hmm. They were calling whites that first. And it later became applied to people of color. But they've been indoctrinated with a sense of supremacy. And the myth of white supremacy that they have been baptized in the language of Jesus, to be baptized means to be established in the teachings of another. It also means to straighten out what is bent. So they've been so indoctrinated into white supremacy theology. When they read the Bible, they have been made to believe that they themselves are somehow the ones that the scriptures are talking about. And so it is not a surprise that even in every sector, when you hear them talk about even blacks, if it wasn't for slavery, I would know Jesus. That's a lie. The oldest Christian church in the world is the Ethiopian Coptic Church.
That's right.
When we don't know our history, when we don't know we're reading about ourselves, then we still, Charles B. Kofor, former professor at ITC, I'll never forget, he was at Howard University in the 90s, and he did that whole Table of Nations, and he walked it down, and he described it, and he expounded on it. See, what they teach at their church, and this kind of escapism, narrow, see no evil escapism, coupled with the fact that Fox News or the so-called alt-right has so shaped their minds, so their prophecies is straight out of what Sean Hannity said, what Tucker Carlson and all, whoever these darlings of the right. So when even their so-called prophecy, even their so-called prophecies are shaped by that, their theology and their doctrine. And so then you get them all together, and they believe that they believe that number one, they are superior, and that they do believe that this is a blessing for them because they want to ignore how they got it. They were stolen and raped and pillaged and all of that. So I think that even as much as I appreciate some of their ministries, I also know that many of them have been misguided, and they think that they really do believe, even though they say that they don't, they do believe that they are superior.
My brother put it so eloquently, but I got to add to this.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Historically, until 1948, Israel, Africa, the Middle East was all one country until the UN decided to redraw the map.
That's right.
The borders of Africa.
That's right. Tell us.
So essentially, the historical Jesus was East African. The whole biblical movement, Christianity, evolved in Africa. The Bible was canonized in Africa. It's translated into Latin in Alexandria, Egypt. St. Augustine, the church father of the Catholic Church, was black.
He Africa,
was from North Africa. So Origen, Tertullian, St. Athanasius, who was at the Council of Nicaea, they're all African. So to sit there and suggest that They gave us Christianity. No, they gave us a tainted, whitewashed view of Christianity. And one thing I will say, and this is not a reflection if you're an AOK listener, if AOK does not endorse what I'm about to say, but if you're black and you go into his church, you should probably find another church. If you're at Pastor Louis Gigliola's church, you probably should find another church, because that is insensitive. That was unnecessary. That was way out of pocket.
That was, and
the thing of it is, I was disappointed initially in Lecrae because he didn't say anything. He just sat there and took it. And
yeah.
I'm like, brother, please speak up, because that, and lastly, I want to say one thing. Let's face it. In their reality, in their perception, everything they said was true. It was a blessing for them. It was an ill-gotten blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm looking at it from their perspective, yeah, you benefited off a free label for 252 years. You can call it a blessing, but that is insensitive. And those are the kind of people we should not support. That kind of language plays into the systemic injustice that we face to this day.
That's right. Apostle Darrell Winston. Yeah. And Pastor Keith Hammond.
It's an evil.
Yeah. It's an evil. It's an evil.
It's an evil.
Mm-hmm. Save Our City Coalition. Let's go to our phone lines. Reverend Miller from Atlanta has a question for you. Go right ahead.
Dr. Winston, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You may not remember me, but I remember you years ago. Matter of fact, me and you, I went to Bishop College in Dallas, Texas in 1982.
Okay.
Yeah. So are you familiar with we from the same Bishop Ike family?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and also, Dr. Hammond, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to ask two important questions, and that is this. Number one, when it comes to white supremacy and how they define certain biblical terms in the Bible, what is their understanding of redemption as opposed to the standard definition of meaning of what redemption is? And number two is, do you believe that those who attack the Black Lives Movement, they talk about how much dangerous they are, terrorists, they talk about the immorality within the leadership, they address the issue of homosexuality, all of that. But do you believe, when it comes down to the Christian identity movement, would you consider that as a part of the alt-right, perhaps maybe the white nationalist organization?
Yeah, let me address the Black Lives Matter piece, and then Pastor Hammond. Historically, we got to have some historical continuity. Remember when Dr. King, and even before that, J. Edgar Hoover, they created something called COINTELPRO. What did we hear in the 60s? It was a communist. What did they say about Dr. King? Communist. What did J. Edgar Hoover do? He spied on them. He wiretapped them. But he was hiding his own stuff. But here's the other piece. COINTELPRO, they used that. Every movement, if you think about it, even though I take issues with... Now, when we talk about the Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Organization.
Hold tight a second. Hold tight a second, Apostle, because I want you to finish what you're saying with Reverend Miller. Hold tight a second. We'll be right back, and we'll continue this conversation. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Apostle Darrell Winston and Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond, Save Our City Coalition. Go ahead and continue, Apostle, with what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, there needs to be a distinction between the Black Lives Matter movement versus organization, because everybody who, many of us, understand the value of Black lives, but that doesn't mean we're part of the organization. And so sometimes when you hear, especially white evangelicals and Black evangelicals speaking to address it, and they throw out the name of George Soros, but if you do a little more research, you'll find that there's never just one. And that narrative been driven by white evangelicals. Ed Young says some things recently and others. So they have sought to discredit it as the forefathers before. And then I'm throwing this out this as a teacher.
and I do this with my school, the prophets. This, our homework assignment is study the John Birch Society and study who shaped that thought in terms of how they have sought to discredit any movement, albeit there are some things that will not allow us necessarily to agree on every issue. But we need to know that when it comes to the fight of our against those who have been marginalized, and when we can contend with nihilistic threats, we do have the ability to transcend racial lines and denominational lines and even religious lines, because when we are under attack, if I'm fighting in the foxhole, I'm not concerned if my brother is a Buddhist or Muslim, but if we're fighting on the winning side, we're fighting for it. And so that's my take on that. Go ahead, Pastor Keith.
Yeah, and I think you covered it all. And then one thing we have to do is if we're going to walk, we got to walk in unity, because the bigger thing is it doesn't matter if I'm Baptist or you're Methodist, and, or if you're Muslim, I'm a Jewish. We all have that diaspora in common. We all have that area that we come from, because the common good of it is that we want equality. We want justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can't all, we also got to separate. There's the Black Lives Matter, the organization, which they've done some effective and very, very effective things in since Trayvon Martin, which it was birthed out of Trayvon Martin's murder.
Mm-hmm.
And we got also the Black Lives Movement itself is just saying Black Lives Matter also. And all lives can't matter until Black Lives Matter. And you can't be dismissive every time we say Black Lives Matter, you want to say all lives matter. If all lives matter, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And as far as Ed Young or Pastor Gugliotto or Paula White, who's a Trump surrogate, until you wake up and get on board, and if you ever woke up and you meet Jesus and found out that Jesus looks like somebody with melanin in their skin, that you will realize the same Savior you claim to love, you got to love, have the same love for everyone else.
Pastor Hammond and Apostle Darrell Winston, these recent killings that we've been hearing about as it relates to police brutality, police violence, and also communal violence, that dealing with Sequoia. Well, talk to us about that, your thoughts on that, and where we are as it relates to Save Our City Coalition.
Hey, Pastor, I'll deal with the Save Our City Coalition, and then Pastor Hammond's been in the trenches dealing with, even he worked incessantly seeking to mediate over with the Wendy situation. But the Save Our City Coalition, which is birthed out of FRED initially, Faith-Based Response to Emergency Disaster, was we shifted our focus, especially when we saw the conditions and the plight of brown and black people in this America, which has now become a disaster, just as it is with the hurricane and weather and other emergency disasters. We realized that lives are being lost and that people are having to contend with over and againstness. And so in this city, we realized that having grown up here in Atlanta, having been this being my native place, we have seen Atlanta go through many upheavals, but what is being overlooked is that Atlanta now has become a powder keg. The gap between the haves and the have-nots is not just racism, it's classism. There's a cooled indifference. There's a dark cloud over the city. If we don't address the disparity in the area, we got some major mental health issues in this city. We're in a mental health crisis. We're dealing with economic disparity. There's a crisis of leadership, not just political leadership, but even there's so many in the faith community who doesn't see it that being their obligation. They don't connect the conditions in their city with morality, and not knowing that if we don't do something, roll up our sleeves and address this matter, Atlanta's going to burn again. There's elements in this city that at any point, number one, they don't fear fear death, and they don't think nothing about dying. And so my whole point is this Save Our City will be a way for us to affirm the worth and uniqueness of all and to come together to do some action-oriented things, working with MPUs, working with faith leaders, activists, to foster a greater sense of healing and wholeness in this city, given the current chasm that exists.
That's good. Pastor Keith Jamal Hammond, in 2 minutes, talk to us about Preachers for the People and Save Our City Coalition as it relates to what's been happening recently.
Okay. Let me say this. Travis King, that works at L.A. Fitness, told me to tell you hi. He texted me. He's listening in now.
Oh, my God.
And he told me to tell you hi. So there are other organizations. I am a part of a group called Preachers for the People, which is a group of young preachers that actually came together. The speaker voice is led by Pastor William Townsend and others. But I can tell you more about being on the ground from when we were out in front of the CNN Center, when the powder keg first exploded, to being there at the mm-hmm. Wendy's when that powder keg exploded, and to the sadness of Sequoia Turner and what the Williamson and Turner family is going through right now. I agree. There's something has to be done, because we're dealing with a powder keg on so many levels. It's just not in Atlanta. We're seeing shootings all across the board. We're seeing people die randomly and callously.
Mm-hmm.
Wanderling, I'm trying to gather my words, because one thing that we have to address, because my whole mission of being out there in front of the Wendy's and even at the CNN Center was to just be a peacekeeper, to see if we can bring some peace between frustrated police and angry and hurt people in the community. But one of the things that we have to face, too, we're dealing with a lot of shootings because we have some lackluster gun laws in the state that was passed by the Nathan Deal administration. Had the gun laws not been so lax, and some of the other things that happened, we would probably have Sequoia Turner here now. She should be watching CNN, or she should be watching the Cartoon Network right now.
Exactly,
and playing right now. So they've got to tighten up those gun laws, and I don't know how we lobby that every gun owner. And one thing I'm believing, that every gun owner should go through a firearm safety class. If you got a gun or want a gun, you have to go through that. You have to go through mental background checks or something.
Yeah,
because this is ridiculous.
Pastor Hammond, I've got to go, but I certainly want our audience to follow you, Apostle Darrell Winston. So quickly, Pastor Hammond, tell us how we can connect with you.
Yes, on Facebook, Keith Jamal Hammond, my government name. On Twitter, the Radical One, and Built to Be Broken on Instagram. But Keith Jamal Hammond on Facebook.
Awesome. Apostle Darrell Winston, how can people
You can reach me at Darrell Winston on IG, Nobby Winston on Twitter, and then, of course, Facebook, Darrell Winston Ministries or Darrell Winston. And you can go to my website at darrellwinstonministries.org, and those are the ways that you can reach me.
Thank you so much, Apostle Darrell
Winston. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor.
This has been awesome. This has been awesome. And you all keep doing what you're doing. You are doing a great work in the community, in the streets, and in the churches.
Blessings to you.
All right.
And I
blessings.
Love WALK.
Thank you. We're so glad you love us. Have a good one. Thanks so much. Thanks, Pastors.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.